how is everything? Did you remember to sleep? What a surprise. Let's talk and let's laugh, cause I got so much to tell you. So let's go kick some art, art, art. Go kick some art, art, art. Go kick some art, art, art. Welcome.
Kia ora and welcome to Kick-Ass with Emma and Stephen. We are Aotearoa's comprehensive art show brought to you on Planet FM 104.6 and streaming live around the globe thanks to our podcast, which you can download from planetaudio.org.nz and check us out on Spotify. As we approach the new year, today we just look back at some of our favourite interviews over 2024. And to kick it off, here's one of our favourite songs from the year.
Was Where's Jai with Citrus Mistress.
Wow, Emma, Christmas been and gone just like that. It's now the countdown to 2025.
I was just going to say, if last week was three sleeps till Christmas, does this mean it's three sleeps till 2025?
It does. It does. Got your New Year's resolutions in place?
No, I'm not a resolution kind of person. Although, for many of our listeners, you know that I've had a pretty hard 2 years with health. So I suppose my big thing is about wellness, and we touched on it last week when we said that both of us had kind of pulled back a little bit and were trying to slow down. So I think a really big thing for 2025 for me is to actually make sure to make the most of breaks when I've got them.
Yeah.
But also I do encourage people, you know, when you're really tired and you just kind of go, oh, I won't go. That whole thing of you don't know if it's the last time. Do you know what I mean?
Without
trying to be a down buzzer or anything like that. I do think it's really important to make the effort to go and catch up with people you haven't seen for a while, because you don't know what's going on for them, and sometimes seeing you might actually be the thing that really helps.
Nice, nice. And probably the flip of that then is knowing it's okay to say no to some things that are preventing you from doing good stuff like that. Because you and I are both very good at saying, yes, yes, we'll be there. Yeah, it does get hard. So this week we're doing things a little bit different. We didn't want to drag anyone in so close to the New Year. So we're going to look back at some of our favourite interviews. And this was really hard because there's just hundreds and hundreds of people that have come through our studio. But let's kick it off with a personal favourite of mine, a young performer called Blake Stanton, who joined us in the middle of the year on his, I guess, start off in the career to have a music career. Well, we're absolutely delighted to welcome our next guest, a fabulous young Kiwi artist. I was going to say in the making, but he's already made it. He's made several tracks that are out there. He's brought his guitar in, but, you know, we'll see if we have time to get that out a little later on. And that is the fabulous Blake. Now, is it Stanton or Stanton?
Stanton.
Stanton. Welcome to the show, Blake. Great to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
It's wonderful to have you. Now, your accent is interesting. Where were you born?
I was born in South Africa.
Ah, okay. And how long have you been here in New Zealand?
Well, I moved here when I was 6 and I just turned 18.
So this is home. Yeah. This is your second home.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Nice. Nice. Have you been back to South Africa much?
Not since.
No? Okay.
No.
Ah, interesting. So you wrote to us, and we love it when people write in with their music, about your latest track, and we had a listen and we went, no, you need to come in and talk about it, because we really liked it. It's a great track. So take us back, and you're young, so we're probably not going back too far, but take us back. What first kicked off your interest and passion for music?
Well, I've always been surrounded by musical instruments in my household, but I never really caught on to it until about 4 years ago, where I took part in the school play, and I was like, you know what, I'm gonna just be a tree in the background. And I did the audition, and they were like, we're gonna give you the lead role. And nice. I was like,
what was the show?
It was a High School Musical.
Love it. That's really bringing out the music then. That's fantastic.
So yeah, with that, I was like, I actually like singing, and I just was learning how to play guitar at that point, teaching myself and finding my own feet there, and that kind of sparked my interest in it. And I was like, then I started playing at school, and then it grew from there.
Cool. What school did you go to?
I went to Albany Junior.
Okay.
And now I'm at Albany Senior High School.
So what year level are you now?
I'm year 13, final year at school.
Big final year. Okay. Still fitting some music in your life amongst the busyness of the final year?
Yes. I'm trying to as much as possible.
Yeah. What made you think that you want to write music? Because that's a different ballgame in itself.
It gives me a great opportunity to share with other people around me, where I can see, oh, this person's going through this, and I write something, and it gives someone something to grab onto, and I'm living around all the different stories around teenage life, so...
I like that, Eric, because we have so many guests that come on who are quite young, like you, and they'll say, you know, they've written from their own personal experience, and then we hear the music and we're like, really? They've been through all of this at 17? Life sucks. But I like the fact that you were really honest then, and you said, I'm writing from other people's experience and other people's stories. Has anyone sort of ever said to you, hey, that's my story you've just written about?
No.
Kept it safe.
If I do write about someone, I tend to not tell them.
That's cool. Who do you listen to? Like, who's your inspiration growing up music-wise?
People around me at school and my friends that also did music, and I looked up to them, and I was like, I want to be like this person. And I decided to get closer to them and learn from them. And so it was the people around me, and I got an opportunity to play at an open mic night. Nice. And there I met so many cool people, and I met this audio engineering guy, Darren, and he was actually the guy that produced and all my tracks that I've released. And that was all just through meeting someone who knows someone who knows someone.
It's how it works.
Yeah. Did you do it as a subject at school, or was it more sort of extracurricular?
It was extracurricular up until last year, where I was like, you know what, I'm going to give it a go. And nice. So this year and last year I've taken music as a subject.
Awesome. Do you have any artist inspirations? Do you like that you
like? If we raided your Spotify playlist, who would be on there?
A lot of Zach Bryan at the moment. I'm going through Country Phrase.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah.
No, Zac Efron, High School Musical.
Is there a particular genre that you like more? Like, you just see going through a country phase, but I wouldn't say the song we're about to play is too country. Like, do you like sort of a mixture of genres?
Yeah, I tend to listen to a lot of different genres, and the songs that I tend to write are more of an acoustic, contemporary pop area, like more emotional type of lyrical stuff, yeah. Tend to grab a lot from different genres and kind of mix it together.
Where would you like to take music?
I'd love to pursue a solo career and travel and share with people all around New Zealand and even around the world as well. That's kind of where I always want to reside inside the music industry somewhere.
It's a hard world to live in. Like, it's a hard world to, you know, make money. And if your parents were in the room, they'd probably be nodding with me when they say, you know, how are you going to survive? But it is possible with hard work and often a job on the side. Are you sort of, you're committed to go down that path of creating your own music rather than, say, playing covers?
Yes. I do tend to mix covers when I'm going to gigs and stuff, just to grab the audience.
And pad out a night.
Pad out a night. But my own stuff is where that's my goal.
Awesome. Cool. Awesome. We better listen to one of your tracks so then the audience know sort of your style. So tell us about Lost Love. That's your recent release. What's the inspiration behind this one?
So this song is about... you know how sometimes you go and walk in the park and you just meet random people and you get talking to them? So this one is about going to a park bench and you meet this old guy sitting alone and he starts telling you his life story and how he lost the love of his life over something that was small in the bigger scheme of things, and he was careless with his words and therefore he lost the love of his life. Okay. And he was, and if you read into it, it's kind of... He's giving you advice on how to be careful with your words.
And did you create this yourself, or did it come from a real life experience of sitting next to someone on a park bench?
It was not a real life experience, but I like the idea of it.
It's a really good idea.
It's almost movie sort of storyline. Yeah. All right. Well, cool. Let's take a listen to Lost Love.
A man who's holding on to roses far too gone, reciting his poems again and again. In his grasp a withered rose echoes all the passing thoughts of a love that hit him when he said, I don't care anymore.
can't put a plaster on your tongue. It just bleeds so plain and it's done. Say most lips sink ships. You change your life and your world flip. Around and around, 'cause you said, I don't care if you don't need to. I don't care if you don't say I do. I don't care anymore. I just don't care anymore. Just don't care anymore.
Beautiful. Lost Love. Blake, that's great. That's a great number to sort of get a vibe of you. As always, you sound, everyone sounds a little different when that, you know, mixing on there. So that accent disappears when we sing as well, which is interesting. Mm. Almost had a more American sort of sound and vibe to it as well. How many songs have you created so far?
Roughly, probably about 30 songs, wow. Probably now.
That you've written?
That I've written, yeah.
That's awesome. How fast do you turn them out then?
It varies, really. Like, sometimes it can take me like a couple months, and sometimes it can take me like 5 minutes to write a song. It depends on the inspiration and how I'm feeling in the moment.
He'll write a song about us later tonight.
Yeah.
No, give me a song. The Ballad of Eric and Stephen.
Two weird guys behind it.
Couldn't work out how to get a show like. Tell us, what are you learning from getting it out there point of view? So, platforms that you're streaming on, etc. What has been some of the learnings in that space so far?
Is how many steps it takes to actually get your music onto platforms like Spotify. I thought, like, beforehand it was just like, oh, just press enter and kind of it goes up. But there's, like, so many different steps to take and money as well.
Yeah.
Process.
Will you sort of head down the music video path over time?
A bit later on. I've been thinking of, like, ideas on how to do it. But I feel like I want to wait until there's, like, the song that, like, otherwise it will just kind of go onto YouTube and get like 10 views
and, yeah,
like,
and gets lost.
I think you've got that song that can fit into a TikTok. Sailing for years and years.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Get that in 5 minutes of fame.
Now, have you ventured into New Zealand's Bandcamp as a website?
Yes, I have looked at that, yeah.
So that's something that definitely every artist that we've had come through here that has started, especially once they're getting into their proper album and album release, they just sing the praises because Kiwis are so good at supporting in there, and rather than the money going to sort of an overseas monopoly, it's here. And what Bandcamp's very good at is people will download full albums and pay, like we used to when we used to go to a music store and buy a CD. Now, just for your benefit, Blake, a CD is a round silver thing that we used to put in into a music player. Blake's very young in the studio. But it's really good because we can support an artist and we can download their whole album. So, you know, we do encourage that here. But, of course, now you've got your Spotify's, your Amazon Music's, you've got so many different sites. Are you trying to get on all of them? Is it about having to so that you get the plays?
Yeah, so it's just a blanket bomb approach, I guess, and just be on everything and so that, yeah. You can. I feel like most people use Spotify and Apple Music. Like, I met one person that was like, "Oh, I mean Deezer." I'm like, "You're like the one out of a million, bro."
He's on what, though?
Deezer.
Oh yeah. There's so many out there, but that's how. I mean, I love it. That's how I hear so many different Kiwi artists now. Is just chuck on the Apple. Just say, play me music and leave it to it. Gone are the days where we just listen to one artist's whole album. So it is about having those amazing songs that get picked up inside those playlists. Yeah. Now, you're part of Smoke Free Rock Quest.
Yes.
Tell us about that journey. How's that tracking? Georgia, listen in. He's coming your way.
Well, I just won the Auckland Solo Duo category with my song Pearly Gates, and I just finished my 3 songs online submission and still waiting to hear back. And yeah, so just going through the steps now, and hopefully I get further. But yeah, super exciting. I only did it the first time last year, and I didn't place last year, and this year I was like first place. I was like, oh,
that's nice. Cool. For anyone listening that doesn't know what Smoke Free Rock Quest is, like, sort of explain the journey that you've had to go under.
So Smoke Free Rock Quest is a competition, a nationwide competition for school aged kids, and where you perform your own original songs, and at the end of it, if you end up winning the whole thing, aside from amazing exposure, you get to record your song, you get to have a music video, and it's just awesome experience as well to meet other artists as well and make so many friends.
Yeah, that's so cool. We have had people come through here. You know, Emma and I took the show over about 4 years ago from the previous co-hosts, and I know that so many of those in our first year now on their third, fourth album. They've got gigs. We were chatting to a couple a few weeks ago that, you know, are now big overseas. That's their home now. We talked to Lisa not so long ago, who's, you know, permanently in a piano bars in LA and things, and have all started from these sort of smoke-free rock quests. Journeys. And what was the other one? The stage challenge was the theatre version, wasn't it? We used to have the stage challenge. There was another one. So many of them have disappeared, so it's great that it's still there. Planning to record any high school musical tracks? Yeah, just to sort of take us back?
Was that long gone?
That's long gone. My theatre days are gone now.
Never say never.
Yeah. Eric knows that one. So what's next for you? If this is year 13, pretend your parents aren't listening and it's just us having a conversation. What's next year? What would you like to do?
I want to really push my music and really get out there as much as possible. Like, any free time I spend is just pursuing music and trying to get and build anything I can with it, and opportunities make opportunities.
Yeah.
You know, like the domino effect.
Yeah, good on you. I mean, you've obviously got family support, because that's going to be important in order to sort of just put your head down and go for it. When you're looking at sort of financing, I guess, all the stuff that you're going on, at what point have you done any research? Sort of at what point do you start getting some returns for music out there?
I find that currently my most income from music is actually busking.
Yeah, good on you.
I've probably, off Spotify, made $10.
Wow.
And where busking, if I play for like 3 hours, I can get a couple hundred if I'm lucky.
Brilliant, fantastic.
So that's probably the most lucrative place at the currently.
Cool.
Do you ever do any paid gigs? Ding Dong Lounge, Auckland Town.
Now that I've turned 18, I can go to those kind of places now.
Well, you'll see me there.
Yeah, awesome.
Great.
Yeah.
We've conned him, because we've got a bit of time tonight since everything went a bit haywire at the start, and we've conned Blake into getting his guitar out. And I always love it when we have live music in the studio, and Emma will be furious, but I will video in a second. Tell us a little bit more about this gig at the Tuning Fork in August. What do you have to do for that?
So that came from a competition that I did recently called Newfound Sound, and I won Audience Choice Award alongside other people that got other awards, one of which was my friend. And it's awesome now, because we both, the next stage, it is, I think it's nationwide now, the next stage in the competition, and it's, we play at the Tuning Fork, which is an amazing venue.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it's also exciting because I get to do it with my mate. Yeah. She's also released a couple of songs as well. Kenzie, go follow her and stuff.
Brilliant. And that was part of doing the duo competition?
So it's a solo duo category, but I was solo. You could just be a solo or duo person inside that category, and yeah, instead of bands. And
have you looked at sort of other people, I guess, that can be part of this musical journey with you going forward? And I guess I'm thinking, like, people that have been part of the Smoke Free Rock Quest before and have won, maybe that can inspire you or help you, or music producers or wonderful people that make music videos. Like, have you started to venture that world, or is that kind of on the list for next year, get year 13 done? And
it I think that's more for next year. I've definitely started making friends with a lot of different people of all different shapes and sizes and forms. And
there's a song.
Yeah. all different walks of earth, and I really like that. And we'll see what happens with that next year. Hopefully I get a music video out and all of that lovely stuff. But
I must say, the people we've seen succeed the most since we've been doing this definitely are humble. So they're humble, people want to help them. And then you just find that the world opens up. You know, people want to help you create music videos, and that makes a big difference. So, yeah, keep being who you are, because I can see that that will really help. Mm. Now, since we've conned you to get the guitar out, and we're going to play a couple of numbers, and Emma's not here, but hopefully I can make this go live on our socials at the same time, because that's her baby. What are you going to play for us? Just kick it off.
I'm going to play a song that I wrote recently. It's called Chasing Down the Sun.
Mm-hmm.
It's about always chasing your dreams, even though the road that we tread is always, it's not a well-tarred road. It's always cracked, and there'll be hard times, but always just keep looking forward and keep pursuing.
17, Eric.
I know.
What were you doing at 17?
I couldn't come up with any of this.
I love it. All right, let's take it away.
Out where the river bends under willow tree, I find myself wondering where souls can run free, with a heart on my sleeve and dreams as big as the sky. And every note I believe, like a prayer, was blurred by. Oh, I'm chasing down the sun on this cracked and broken road, with a guitar full of stories and a voice to bear the load. Through the laughter and the pain, and the silence and the cry, oh, I'm singing my way home under this vast and open sky. There's a tale in every scar, listen in each fall. There's beauty in the struggle, a rise after every stall. With calloused hands and a tender heart, in every word I believe there's a brand new start. Oh, I'm chasing down the sun on this cracked and broken road, with a guitar full of stories and a voice to bear the load. Through the laughter and the pain and the sigh, chasing down the sun on this cracked and broken road, when the kids are full of stories and a voice to bear the load. Through the laughter and the pain and the silence and the cry, oh, I'm singing my way home under this vast and open, open sky.
Absolutely fabulous. I'm busy trying to post all these live, so I'm doing an Emma here so that you can check Blake out online. Beautiful sound. As always, absolutely love it, Eric, when someone comes in and they sound just as good, if not better, live.
How good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish we had video through the radio.
Yeah. Well, it's up on our socials, so do check it out. Playing live, so where does that sort of feature, I guess, for you going forward? Is it about creating enough to make a night, a concert, an hour? What's sort of your thoughts on that?
I'd love to play a full set, Well, I have enough songs, but I would like to play them once I've released them, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like, so that people actually know what I'm playing.
Or is it a bit of a mix of both, you know? Also a chance to have a crowd in front of you that you can go, by the way, you like my music, here's a couple of new tracks.
Yeah, I love that as well. I think it's mostly, I love the connectiveness between you and the crowd, and like looking at the people and seeing how they, if they enjoy the music, if they don't enjoy the music as well, it's also a connection there, good and bad, and which is also good if it's bad, if you know what I mean. Like, you get to learn from it and adapt your style to a wider range of people.
Yeah,
I know a wide range of people who would really enjoy watching that live. So you definitely should do more gigs. Fantastic.
What do your friends think?
Some of them are like fed up with me playing some of the same stuff over and over again. But most of my friends are very supportive. I had them around for my birthday last month, and I took out my guitar and I was playing Mr. Man in Black that we just played, and it was such a surreal experience because I started playing it and they all knew the lyrics and they were singing it back to me, and I was like, wow, people are singing my lyrics back to me.
Awesome.
Like, it was, yeah.
That's got to be the ultimate compliment, doesn't it, when people sing back to you?
Yeah. It was heavenly.
That is so cool. And it all started from High School Musical.
Nice.
You like that segue, Eric?
Yeah.
That was great.
Good segue.
Yeah. Who did you play?
I played Troy Bolton.
So is that the Zac Efron?
That's the Zac Efron.
Yeah, you've got that look too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a compliment. I like that. Take it.
What advice would you give somebody young, you know, they're perhaps year 11 or 12, thinking, do I start out on this journey? Do I do smoke-free rock quest? What do I do? Like, what's your advice to another young person listening?
Say yes to every opportunity, even if you, small or big, like, and get yourself in front of people as well. Like, if you are just starting with your guitar and your songwriting and all of that, and just like a small lunchtime small lunchtime performance at your school, and whether it's in front of like 5 to 10 people in front of your school, just like get in front of people and share your journey, share your stuff.
Cool. I love that. Yeah. Just get in front of people and do it. And I guess for older people listening like us, it's about listening to new music, eh? Not being afraid to try new artists and listen to new artists that are up there. Yeah. Awesome. So you're going to sort of focus now on the rest of year 13. You've kind of got that last term, school holidays, one more week, and then sort of last busy term, and then it's exams and things. What other subjects are you studying in your mix?
So my subjects that I study is English, fitness, music, business, and psychology.
Awesome.
That's a good mix. Okay. I approve. All right. You're going to play us with one more song, and this is the one that sort of won you this next place in Smoke-Free Rock Quest, Pearly Gates. Now, instantly by the title, it's conjuring up some thoughts for me of what it might be about. I'm guessing there's a bit of a backstory.
Yeah, so the song came about when I had lost one of my friends he had taken his own life, and I wrote this song in an attempt to kind of make sense, put it on a shelf and understand my own feelings about it, and also things that I wish I could have said or done differently as well.
Okay.
It's a very different vibe from my other songs that I'm doing.
But it's from the heart and it's a true story. Yeah, and sometimes they're the best. Do your friends relate to the song as well?
My friends really like the song, the sound of it, and everyone really likes it because it's different from what I usually do. But I don't feel many people know the backstory about it.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, well, we're going to take a listen to Pearly Gates and then we'll find out where you can sort of follow and track Blake down. Take it away.
Down and lost
just growing scared to exist. Not a flower in this place, just a stench of a cold embrace. They said welcome to the world, what a wonderful place. Such a scared little girl with a scared little face. When I hear your crow calling out, inviting me to join the falling leaves. All that we can see. So too late when we found you. When I hear your crow calling out, inviting me to join the fallen leaves down here, I'd feel pearly gates. Open the heavens, open the heavens, open the pearly, pearly gates.
Beautiful. Oh, the crowd goes wild. Yeah, as you say, a different song, but it comes from the heart, but yeah, some intense, I was going to say, almost a little bit of anger, I guess, sitting inside there as well.
Mm.
Yeah. Good on you. Good on you for finding a space to release some of that. Keep it up. Absolutely so impressed with all your music tonight. Congratulations. You've got a great future ahead.
Yeah.
And we listen to them every week. And we're excited to see where this takes you. Where can people track you down, follow your music? Where does it earn the most? So that people can support you.
Well, I'm on Spotify, Apple Music, all of those platforms, so you'll definitely find me on there. My name is Blake Stainton. You can follow me on Instagram as well, TikTok, Facebook.
Fantastic. I think you have a link tree on your Instagram that's got them all. Cool.
Yep.
Cool.
Awesome. Fire, yep.
Great. Well, congratulations, and thank you so much for coming in and making our night by having a few extra songs. We really appreciate it, and we'll look forward to seeing where it takes you.
Such a great interview, and look, we've had so many young people come into Kick Arts over the years that have completed things like Smoke Free Rock Quest and are now on their second or third album. So all the best, Blake. We hope that continues for you.
Yeah, so we've got a few people we thought we wanted to thank looking back over the year. So to start off with, we wanted to thank some people that jumped in to help us out when either Stephen or myself weren't available.
Usually when Emma's jet-setting around the world at some festival or another.
That's the one. So, of course, regulars in front of us or on air this year have included Taylor,
Georgia,
Patrick,
Eric,
and Adam.
Yeah, so thank you guys for always stepping in and filling in, and you're going to be in a few times this year, let's face it. We've both got a few things this year that will clash with our Sundays, so a big thank you to all our guest hosts.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we both love being there, but can't always be there on a Sunday night when you've got to travel or something for an early Monday start. Also wanted to give a huge shout out to Planet FM and especially to Joe, who is no longer with the team, who looked after us so well for 3.5 years before she moved on, doing all the admin side and keeping things ticking. And, of course, jumping into a lot of the jobs that Joe used to do, of course, is Michelle, who has just been absolutely phenomenal at helping us out.
Yeah, so a big thank you to Planet FM, based in Mount Albert. And don't just listen to Kick Arts. They've got lots of great shows on during the week. Check them out.
Definitely. And I know that we spoke to a lot of our sponsors last week, but we just wanted, again, to acknowledge our the people that send us a lot of our guests. So Elephant Publicity, Little Sister, Lighthouse PR, Siobhan Waterhouse, Woodland Publicity, and, of course, Georgia with all the music they send our way as well. So thank you so much to you all.
Now, our next guest joined us earlier in the year. She is an author of the book 1,000 Paper Cuts, and that's Jodie Shelley.
Now, I've got a fabulous return guest on the show, although it has been a little while since we last chatted, but I know her well, and that is the fabulous Jodie Shelley. Welcome to the show, Jodie.
Well, thank you for having me, and what an introduction. I can live up to it.
Well, Emma and I were chatting because it was a children's book that we last chatted to you about, but it was a few years ago now.
Well, no, it was actually my novel, which was a year ago.
Is that all?
And the feedback that your reviewer gave me was that the cover looked a little bit like a young adult book.
That's right.
So, So it was my debut novel, which is actually an adult novel, was The Tui Has Landed.
Yes, that's it. Yeah. That's it. Sorry. Gee, that was a great start to the interview, Emma. You take over from here.
Yeah, I'll take it from here. That's good. No,
so, 1,000 paper cups, and I have to keep careful because you automatically go to say cuts, but 1,000 paper cups, which is a finalist in the Wishing Shelf Awards. Tell us about this one.
Yeah, so 1,000 Paper Cups is my second novel, and it is a humorous Kiwi story, and it's all about homophobia and family harm, which, when you say that out loud, it does seem like a bit of a uncomfortable marriage, but bear with me. So the novel is about the Lewis family, so there's a mum and a dad, three brothers, and their sister-in-law, and a few other characters that are in their orbit. And each of the Lewis sons are really grappling with their own kind of challenge, I guess. The eldest son, Will, ends up working for a really horrible, unpleasant CEO. The middle son, Liam, feels like he's never really measured up to his brothers, and he's really desperate to matter to his dad. And the youngest brother, Benjamin, is a youth worker, so he works with troubled kids. And his relationship with his dad is a bit complex, because it was really good until he came out at the age of 17. And while his mum was super supportive, his dad couldn't reconcile himself with the news that Benjamin was gay. And one of the adorable things about Benjamin is he gets all of his common sayings wrong. So he says things like the fruit of my groin instead of the fruit of my loin, and you're as white as a sheep, and death by 1,000 paper cups, and hence the title. So, yeah.
Clever.
Yeah.
Where was your inspiration for this one?
I was inspired by listening to a podcast, which was like an old school agony aunt type thing. You know, you used to read that in the paper, but this one was a podcast. And people would write in with their problem, and the podcasters would do their best to provide advice. And one of the listeners wrote in to say that he had been excluded from a will because of his sexual orientation, and that he was really hoping that his siblings would support his plight. And it really struck me, it struck a chord with me. I really imagined the challenge that might present for the whole family when they're dealing with grief, but also dealing with this added complexity of somebody being excluded for their sexuality. And that's really the inspiration. That's where it came from.
Wow. Quite different to your Tui Has Landed.
Yeah, it is different. There are darker moments than the Tui Has Landed. We look at family harm, and there's some childhood trauma, and there's homophobia, and there's grief. I guess it's similar to my debut novel in that, again, I've managed to have a lighter storyline, so there is humour that bubbles up and the cheeky banter between the characters, and in a bunch of failed parent-teacher interviews that happen with one of the characters, and the mangled idioms, obviously, that get uttered by Dear Benjamin. But there's a grittier under scene that bubbles up underneath. So in The 2 Years Landed, I looked at problem gambling and addiction, and this time I'm looking at family harm and homophobia. So similar in that way, but different in that the themes are slightly darker. There's some more harrowing scenes in this newer book.
Yeah, this one too has been picked up, as we said, by the Wishing Shelf Awards, which is a London-based award, isn't it?
Yeah, so this one hasn't been picked up by them yet, but I am very hopeful. The 2 Years Landed ended up being a finalist in that award, so the Wishing Shelf Awards is a really cool award because it's judged by regular readers, like you and me, and those readers are based out of London and Stockholm, and it's open to anyone in the world to enter, and you get scores out of 35 for your book, all the various aspects of it, and if you manage to score 25 or above, you become a finalist. So I was so overwhelmed that the 2 Years Landed ended up being a finalist, because there were some really Kiwi themes in it, like Anna Hedda's upbringing with her koro and nanny, and there was some te reo Māori in the book, and really Kiwi stuff going on, and I just wondered what that would be like read by like an international group of residents. So that was really lovely. But I have entered this book, so the 1,000 Paper Cups, I have entered into the Wishing Shelf Awards. So we'll keep our fingers crossed and we'll find out.
Definitely, in
about March next year how it's fared. So fingers crossed.
What is something you learnt from writing your debut novel that you then have taken into this one?
I think that I learned a lot about characterisation, so I spend quite a bit of time on my characters and making them all very different with a different voice and a different motivations, and I think that really helps. So a lot of the feedback that I've had from early readers of 1,000 Paper Cups is this, the compliments on the characterisation, like creating these really unique characters, but characters that you can warm to, and I think that all started, like, I put the kind of hard work in with The 2 Years Landed, really focusing on that, and that's just carried over into this work as well. I think that's really important that we, and that was advice like I listened to an Instagram live that was done by Marion Keyes, and that was some of her advice many years ago about, you know, don't write an every woman character, don't make this character sound like that one, and so that's probably the biggest learning, is how important creating really rich characters is and the hard work that you have to do to do that.
Yeah. Now, when you're not writing books, you're a very busy person, and it was actually through the 2 Years Landed interview that my ears pricked up, because you talked about being a business coach for people, for individuals, and we got chatting after the show, and next minute you've ended up becoming my business coach, which is why I feel like it had been more than a year, because I honestly feel like we've known each other forever.
It does feel like it, doesn't it?
I can't believe it's a year. Tell us, our listeners, a little bit about your day job, because there's lots of people in this industry that would benefit from some of the coaching that you do.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, so during the day I am an executive coach, which is the difference with executive coaching is that it's really focused on kind of leaders and leadership and the skills that you need to operate well in a more of a corporate setting, as opposed to life coaching or any other kind of coaching. And my work focuses on leadership development. I do leadership seminars for organisations, and I work with a company that has got a really great program for leaders, and I do coaching with wonderful clients such as yourself, just meeting clients where they're at and helping them to grow in the direction that they want to grow. So it's very fulfilling work, and at night time, that's when I do my writing. So it's kind of like a side hustle that I do in the evenings once everyone goes to bed at my house and it's nice and quiet.
I'm waiting, Emma, for her next book to, you know, have this crazy character in it that's, you know, has a day job in real estate and does 20 million things in theatre afterwards, and that all these coaches say, what are you doing, crazy person? And, but this character hasn't come out in the story yet.
Because it's too real.
No one would believe it.
It's not a character no one would believe. Let alone that there's two of us.
Yeah, yeah. Jody, where can people track down your book and track down more information about you?
Yep, the best place to go is my website, which is jodyshelleywrites.com. And if people would like to get an e-book, if they love e-books, then it's on amazon.com. And the title is 1,000 Paper Cups.
Fantastic. Well, thanks for chatting to us on a Sunday night. We wish you every success with this and with the Wishing Shelf Awards. Go and get the book and head to Jodie's website for more information. Thanks so much, Jodie.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for taking you guys.
Anytime.
Now, Emma, we've had some fabulous music guests throughout the year, but one that stood out for me is X Factor's own Jason Parker. Did he come into our studio with lots of bubble and energy or what?
He sure did, and he was so my kind of style with, you know, the colour and... Yeah, the bounce.
Yeah. Well, he's done lots of things this year. He's created lots of music videos. He's made it into media, including some recent really good stories on One News. So without further ado, here's Jason Parker.
Currently in the studio, we have someone that's extremely bright.
I've got yellow in one eye and I've got pink in another eye, and one's
Jason. I reckon that if our guest was to take his hat off, I think that he's got a surprise under there.
Oh, there's a bit of pink as well. It's all rocking.
See, he knew he was coming just here and that I had pink hair, so he kind of paired up with me.
Brilliant. Welcome to the show, Jason.
Thank you so much for having me. You know, I actually thought you'd dyed your hair specially for me to come in, so...
Clever.
Love it.
We're on the same page.
Yeah, well, literally, you're both so gorgeous.
So tell us about yourself. I mean, you're no stranger to music and popular here, both in New Zealand and Australia in particular. Before we even talk about your current songs, take us back. When did music sort of kick off for you?
Well, it's actually nice to be sitting here with you two musical theatre buffs because I too started in musical theatre, and I grew up in a little town in Hawke's Bay called Waipukuro. So they have a great musical theatre society, the Waipawa Musical Theatre Society.
Shout out Waipawa!
Yeah. Honestly, I remember I was singing at primary school. I went to a tiny little primary school called Onga Onga, which is like just outside of Waipukuro. I honestly think there's like 50 people that live there. And for those of you who don't know, Waipukuro is maybe like a town of 2,000 people. My family are farmers, so I grew up on a little farm. But when I got to high school, my music, or the music teacher, she pulled me aside and said, "You're coming with me to Les Mis." And so my first real, like, taste of music was on the Barricade.
Brilliant.
And from there, I had a teacher, a singing teacher, who taught me classical music. So I did a lot of classical music and musical theatre, and that was my real upbringing in music. But behind the scenes, I was, like, in my bedroom dancing to Christina Aguilera, Kelly Clarkson, Lady Gaga, like... The pop music girls were my inspiration now. I don't know if you can hear it or not. And then as well. And I went to musical theatre school. I studied at a school in Christchurch called NASDA.
Woohoo! Shout out to NASDA!
Yeah, you know.
of course we do.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then... Once I'd finished my course at NASDA, I was obviously dreaming of being a musical theatre performer. But... It didn't really happen for me that way. And to be honest, and maybe you guys kind of can relate to this or know what I'm talking about, I felt like musical theatre was really trying to put me in a box that I didn't fit in. I always felt too feminine to play the leading roles in a lot of the musicals, and I honestly am not very good at dancing. So I just... stopped. I gave up on that dream. I moved to Australia and I got on a show called X Factor Australia. And on that show, I got to perform for 8 minutes, which you can find on YouTube, actually. If you Google Jason Parker X Factor, I'm on there. And I really believed at that point that that was my moment. Right. This was years ago, like maybe in 2014. And I really thought that that was my moment because everything I'd done was leading up to me being like, oh, I actually want to be like a recording artist, a singer in my own right. And when I got eliminated from that, I actually just stopped singing for a long time. I was like kind of burnt out from going to musical theatre school, auditioning and not getting roles, and then like really delusionally thinking that like I was about to win X Factor. So I gave up on that for the time being, and I moved back to New Zealand, and I actually like started hairdressing because I just needed grounding, really. I'd been in Australia like partying so much, which was really fun, obviously. But I just needed to find something that was far away from music.
Right.
Yeah. And then I tried to be the best hairdresser I possibly could be, and I never felt satisfied, really, until COVID really hit. And me and my friend started a podcast. It's giving like this vibe, the vibe of you two. Me and my friend started a podcast called Kick Ons. Which, I know.
Wow!
I know.
Kick-Ons, good sponsor, Kick-Ons.
Yeah. And we were interviewing a lot of musicians, and they were talking about, you know, how they had started their careers and their hopes and dreams. And the more people that we were interviewing, the more I thought, like, I could do this. Like, I really could do this. And then Pop Stars, the New Zealand reboot Stars happened, and I got approached to apply for that, and so I really thought, like, what could I lose? And because it was an original songwriting competition, it was the first time that I had, like, sang my songs that I'd been writing in secret to anyone else, and the reception was good. It was really good. I got, like, through to the top 20, and then again, delusionally was like, oh no, this is my moment, actually. And I got eliminated, which sent me home. Literally, I packed like 50 kilos. We were allowed to take 50 kilos worth of stuff, and I packed the whole thing, just 50 kilos worth of sequins for the ready for the television. And I came back with my sequins, and I, at that moment, I really felt so upset that my dream had been crushed again. But instead of stopping like I did last time, I really like took a look at why I was upset and thought like, oh, okay, this is like something you really want to do. Figure out how to do it. And yeah, so since then, that was in like 2020 or 2021 maybe. I've just been trying to figure out how to write music, release music, and perform music. And now I'm doing it.
What do you think was sort of the difference in you that meant the second time after Pop Stars, you were able to go, no, I still want to do this, but let me revisit how, where the first time after X Factor, you were like, take me to hairdressing?
I think that I didn't want to go back to doing something, like putting so much effort into something that wasn't fulfilling to me. And I knew that if I put effort into music, obviously, like, I do have jobs on the side. It's making money in music is like not the goal. It's obviously my dream to be a full-time musician, but it's not, money is not why I do it. But yeah, I just thought, if I am putting so much effort into hairdressing and not feeling fulfilled, why don't I just give myself the chance to put my effort into music and feel fulfilled? So I think that that was the real difference. Like, I was older and wiser, and I didn't want to feel that loss again. And
Do you think you'd put too much pressure on you in those early years on yourself? Yes. Like, it was sort of 100%. Self-pressure?
Yeah. And I'm still trying to get rid of that pressure now. Like, there is a lot of pressure, I think, because I grew up on a farm, and like my family, they are all working in the like farming industry, and what I'm trying to do is like so far from what seemed possible when I was growing up, and so far from what my family does, and they're all really, really supportive. But I just want—I want to make them proud too. So I was putting so much pressure on myself to make something of myself, and I think now I'm realizing that I didn't need to be doing that. Like, my family is proud of me, whatever I'm doing. So yeah, I think age has like really been my friend in that sense.
So no more. So if New Zealand Idol or Australian Idol was next on the list, would you do it, or would you be like, nah, I've done this reality TV world?
I think I would probably not do it, but I would love to be on a reality TV show. Again. Yeah, maybe not a singing one, unless it was like The Masked Singer or something. Yeah, I would like RuPaul's Drag Race. I would love to be a judge on.
Brilliant.
Yes, but I do love reality television, so I would never say never to going on a reality television show.
Well, mate, there's always cooking shows or renovating your house.
Yes.
Or maybe you could do a cute little garden in the front of the rental.
Honestly, do you know what my dream reality show to be on is? First Dates.
Ah.
I feel like that's where I meet the love of my life. And have a free drink.
Love it.
Brilliant. So tell us about your music today. So your journey's brought you here because you're busy releasing music. Where are you at today?
Well, I am in the middle of releasing my second EP. It's called Fairy Bread, and it is a collection of six songs that I wrote over the past 2 years, basically, about falling in love and then like losing myself and trying to find myself again. So I've just released my first two songs off the collection. The first one is Crash, which I think we'll hear soon, and the second one was All of You. And I called it Fairy Bread because I just had this idea when I was driving up to Auckland. I moved from Wellington to Auckland 2 years ago. I just had this idea to call an EP Fairy Bread, and I didn't know what that meant, and I didn't know, like, what it would sound like, but I just had this really clear idea that I wanted it to be called Fairy Bread.
Well, every
sweet
child,
and colourful, yeah.
Sweet and colourful. And
that's what I think of.
I mean, what does every child go to a birthday party for?
Yeah, yes.
And, you know, when you think about that first song and the way we were bopping along to it, and that way that, you know, some of your motifs in there are so easily picked up, you know, and it left a nice taste. Mm. So why not call
it
Fairy Bread?
It's yummy.
Yeah.
Yummy. I've been saying recently that, like, the EP is very hopeful sounding. It's all about bettering yourself and rediscovering a better version of yourself. And, like, what is better than white bread? White bread with sprinkles on it.
I love it.
Yeah.
So if Jason was to go back in time, back to the farm, to 14-year-old Jason, all those times ago, and sit him down knowing what you know now about your life, your journey, your music, what would you say to 14-year-old Jason?
I would say that there's no need to worry. Like, everything's going to be okay. You are going to meet some incredible people. You are going to really, like, thrive. And just be, keep being yourself. Like, I was a camp 14-year-old.
Really?
In a small town.
In rural New Zealand in Waipukoro, I was a camp 14-year-old. And that was this, like, beginning of me, like, really, like, being in tune with myself, like, coming out as gay and starting to make friends who were a bit, like, oddballs, you know, like the drama nerds and the music students. And so that time, I think, like, he knew what he was up to, and he was, like, very courageous and very brave. So, yeah, I'm proud of that kid.
Good on you. Good on you. All right, tell us about Crash. We better play some music. Tell us about Crash.
Crash is the heartbreak song of Fairy Bread. I wrote it literally immediately the day after me and my ex broke up. And it's sad, but it's also super catchy and makes you want to sing along. It's like,
thank you, X, for helping me create this great piece of music.
Oh, I always think that I'm like, God, I just hope that if he listens one day, I don't know, we don't speak right now, but if he listens, I really am like wondering if he'll be like, God, I take credit for this.
I love it.
All right, let's take a listen. Yeah. Here is Crash.
Oh, I didn't know I'd leave you. I know what I've done. I thought we'd see this through. You said forever, and my boy means what he says. My boy keeps his cool, I'm a mess. No, we never saw it coming. Look both ways, do we keep the car running? And I drove a little too fast. I should stop, we ain't meant to let.
Music, Crash. Great music videos too.
Thank you. That music video was my first video, well, my first time I'd got funding from New Zealand On Air. And so with the funding, I actually used it to go to Tokyo, or to Japan. I flew into Tokyo, and my friend Daisy, who had worked with me on my video, This Is My Year and How to Be Lonely before, she'd just moved to Japan, and I said, I've got this money. What are we going to do with it? And she said, I'm moving to Japan, but like, if you get here, we'll make a video in Osaka. So I was like, talked to New Zealand On Air, and they said, yeah, that's fine. And so we, literally flew to Tokyo. And we ran around Osaka this full day of shooting, and it was just like so fun. But we were literally singing in the streets, which is kind of like, it kind of is a not done thing in Japan because everyone's very polite and, like, aware of each other. So we keep having people come up to us and, like, clapping and asking, like...
I thought you were, like, a street performer.
Yes,
yeah. What are we celebrating today?
Yeah, what's going on? So it was really, really, really fun. And if you're thinking about going to Japan, I highly recommend.
Aww.
It was amazing.
That is cool. That is cool. So what's next on the horizon for you? Is it making more videos, more music, trying to get this next EP out?
Yep. So, yeah, basically at the moment I'm focusing on getting the EP out. I've got a song called The Bright Side coming out on the 7th of June, which is in 2 weeks, and that will be the next big single from Fairy Bread. And then I've got 3 more songs coming from Fairy Bread, the EP, finishing in the title song Fairy Bread, which is one of my favourites from the EP. And hopefully after that, I'm currently recording new music. So while this is being released, I'm working on the follow-up, and hopefully that will be out this year as well, and it'll just be a massive year of releasing music. I've also got a gig at Ponsonby Social Club on the 15th of June.
Cool.
Yeah, with my friend Isla Noon, so the two of us will be performing there. You can get your tickets from undertheradar.co.nz if you'd like to come and support the Jason Parker show. Is like high energy, big vocals, wholesome vibes, everyone's singing, dancing. It's like a huge celebration, and I think this time will be fun because we've got like a new single to celebrate, a new EP, and just will be a really, really, really good night.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Do you prefer the live performing to sort of recording, or do you like the mix?
I actually do love, like, I feel like I record so that I can do live shows. Like, my dream would just be to tour as much as possible. I think it's, like, the musical theatre background in me. I remember when I first started recording, I just was like, okay, if I do one song, then I just need enough songs to do a show, to put on a 15-minute show. So then, like, my first gig was literally 12 minutes. I was like, I've got 3 songs, that's
enough.
Let's
do it.
Yeah, I'm ready. Yeah, yeah. I'm ready to get on stage now.
I want to know what your costumes look like. Like, do you change for every song, or?
Oh, that's the dream. At the moment, it's actually like song, song, song. There's like no stops. There's no quick change moments, but eventually it's like sequins, and you can imagine it's all pink and beautiful. But yeah, not yet. That's the next step.
Brilliant. You mentioned at the start of the show sort of some of the, I guess, inspiration that you get from other musicians. Who do you find now is inspiring your style of music?
Oh, Kylie Minogue.
Yay! Yay, I'm not the only one.
I am obsessed with Kylie Minogue. I just, like, I cannot get enough of what she is doing. Her last, like, my favourite Kylie Minogue album is Aphrodite, which is, like, I don't know, maybe 10 years old almost, but her most recent record I just think is full of bangers, and Disco before that, a huge inspiration.
I grew up floor to ceiling posters of Kylie in my bedroom, much to my parents' disgust.
Oh.
once Blu Tack was invented, it was like literally ceiling, yeah.
At least it was Blu Tack. My mum used to tell me off because I was drawing pins and everything.
Oh, yes. Oh, that's cool. That's cool. And if you were sort of looking further down the track, where would you like to be in sort of the next 5 or 10 years with this?
Well, in the next year, I would like to release an album, like a full-length album. So hopefully next year, that's what I'll be doing. I would like to be able to tour the world. I'd like to see the world, you know. Like, I lived in Australia and I've been to Japan, so it's taken me, like, a little way, but I would love to go to Europe and America, and I would love to just meet, I just have a huge fan base and meet all these cool people and be able to bring everyone together and, like, you know, for an hour or 2 hours a night and just create this, like, really magical moment, because I love live music, I love going to gigs, and I just... It's really special when you get a room full of people who are there for the same reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I'd really like to do. I'd just be able to, like, to do it full-time and global.
Brilliant. But your music, you know, we were talking about the vibe of the music at the start of the show, you know, that will transcend across languages, across countries. You know, that should help you get that play up in other countries.
I hope so. I love pop music. Like, I make music that makes me feel good, that I know that my friends can dance to, and I do feel like it is, it's easy to sing along to, it's infectious, and I've seen at my shows what it's like to bring a room full of people together who, and every one of them is singing, "This is my year." I'm saying no to fear. Like, it is just such a positive vibe. So, yeah, I mean, we're just at the beginning. It's like trying to fill up the biggest bucket I've ever seen, and each thing I do is just like one tiny raindrop. But eventually the bucket gets full.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you gone back to Waipukarau and performed to school?
I haven't. Do you know what? I just got invited to do a talent show there, but I couldn't go because I wasn't around. But I know when I do get a chance to go, it's going to be really, really, really special.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. That is so cool. So let's unpack now your writing of music. So you mentioned, you know, Crash was a quick inspiration due to something that had happened. What's your usual sort of style or way you like to write music, or how long does that sort of journey start to finish take?
It's always different in the inspiration, but my style is quite... It's quite unique in the way that I actually don't know how to play instruments, and I'm not very, technically musically minded. So I write all my songs kind of like a lightning bolt will just hit me of an idea. So, for example, for Crash, right at the start when I was writing it, I just started saying, "Oh, I didn't know," and that was my idea. And I was like, "Oh, that feels good." And I write it all a cappella. And I just sing it over and over again. Like, it's like putting a Woz jig puzzle together or something, you know. Like, I just try and figure out what parts go where, and then I take that song to a producer. Like, Crash is, I'm working with my friend Maud, who works at Big Pop Studios, and I take the a cappella version of the song, and I say, like, I think that it's like, I want some guitars in it or whatever, and then she kind of takes the creative lead on the music side of things, and and then we work together to figure out the rest of it.
It's a really cool process.
Yeah.
Quite different.
What's it like when you first hear the track then, when it comes back to you, this instrumental track? That must be exciting.
It's like cocaine.
Yeah.
It is just the best. Like, I get obsessive about listening to them over and over and over again. And sometimes they come back to me and they're just like, it's better than I could possibly ever imagine. And then sometimes they come back and I'm like, absolutely not. That's not the vibe. And then we start again, which is fine.
Yeah.
I feel really lucky to be able to write in this way, because, like, it is just my dream to make music, and I always did feel, like, quite hindered because I, like, imposter syndrome, I guess, because I don't play instruments, and I just am a boy who likes to sing.
But your instrument is your voice.
Yes, which I now have come to learn and appreciate.
But there are a lot of writing teams like that. Mm. Like, I know a lot of musical theatre writers who are good with music but maybe not so much with words, or they have a team so that there's two of them bouncing off each other all the time, you know. So, you know, your strength is your words, and, you know, like you said, you get some little riffs and you go with it. And if you've found someone that you can then, you know, work with to find that sound, that's so exciting.
Yeah, community is like, you really can't, nothing is done by yourself, like, nothing. And finding your community and finding your people is, like, so special. And I feel really blessed to have, like, be on my journey of, like, meeting all these cool new people who are just incredible.
And I imagine the more they work with you, the easier too they'll understand where your a cappella's going and what sort of style you want behind the music.
Yeah, and there's just the ego just gets dropped really quickly. It's just like me and Maud especially, we've done Fairy Bread together, and with Fairy Bread we sat together for, you know, hours and hours and hours just figuring out how each song is going to sound. And after sitting together for so many hours, you know, like, we're quite close friends now, and I'm excited about working with her for like the next set of songs as well. Like, this is what we could do with a really limited amount of time and a limited amount of knowledge of each other. And yeah, from then on, you know, the sky's the limit.
Brilliant. Oh, we could talk all night, Emma.
We definitely could.
So we're going to play out shortly with I Think About You. So one of your earlier tracks. Tell us a little bit about this one.
I Think About You is the last song I released from my debut EP, How to Be Lonely. And this is a song, it was actually my favorite song from the EP. And I wrote it, about a boy who I was just had the biggest crush on. And he told me he loved me. We had the most amazing time together. And then one day I went over to his house and it like wasn't going so well. And I asked him like, are we all good? And he said, yes, we are. And then I just never saw him again, ever. Oh. And I know, but we only did date for 1 month, so it wasn't actually that serious. But that was the inspiration for the song. And yeah, I do really like this song.
There hasn't been a sequel like Where Are You Now?
No.
Come back, you bastard.
I hope you're well. I wish you well. I'm doing amazing, so.
Brilliant.
He is, has lost.
Yeah. So Jason, where can people sort of follow you, track your music and that sort of thing?
So I'm on all streaming services, Jason Parker. You can also find me on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook at It's Jason Parker on all social media. And you can go to my website, jasonparker.co.nz, and that's got everything on there as well.
And if you're looking for where to get those tickets, it's also listed on the Kick Arts events page.
Oh, fabulous.
Well done.
Yeah, come down to the show. Like, that's where the real magic happens. Tickets are under the radar.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Well, we'd love to keep supporting you. So when you've got some more tracks, keep sending them our way and we'll make sure we stay in touch.
Fabulous. You two are just the absolute sweetest. I've had the best time.
Thanks for coming in. We'll leave it now with I Think About You.
Say goodbye, I think about you. I don't think about the future too much. I've been dwelling on the reasons why we couldn't stay in touch. Used to love me, now you don't, and it's probably my fault. I don't think about the future too much. I don't wonder what my life will be like. I've been driving past your house, hoping that I'd catch your eye. You'd remember how we were. I think about you and I, drinking one more glass of wine. And I think about all the nights, kitchen dancing by your side. I go back to that moment all the time, where you promised we were fine. Kiss my lips and said goodbye, I think about you. I've been busy growing roses on the lawn. From the inside I see people getting closer to my door. They look happy. The future too much. It gets quiet in this house, fill the space with thoughts of doubt. When the roses in the garden sights bloom, I think about you and I, drinking one more glass of wine. And I think about all the nights, kitchen dancing by your side. I go back to that moment all the time, where you promised we were fine. Kiss my lips and say goodbye, how you and I, drinking one more glass of wine. And I think about all the nights, kitchen dancing by your side. I go back to that moment all the time, where you promised we were fine. Kiss my lips and said goodbye. I think about you and I.
I think about you. What a lovely person to interview.
Yeah, he was absolutely superb. And it's not just a small world. As soon as someone says they've been involved in music theatre, in the break we started listing people that we both knew, which was just absolutely lovely to find out how many connections we had.
Yeah, and just so genuine and genuine and honest in a story. I wonder how many other sort of people like him sort of started off in that music world and then had so many knockbacks to sort of give up. Good on them for
coming back.
Around.
Yeah. Because I bet a lot of people have had those knockbacks and haven't come back.
And the arts world's like that. You can, you know, audition, not get a role. Guess it's the same in the music space. Mm. So, fantastic. Well, Emma, that's our last show for 2024.
I know, it's crazy. And we're almost up to the end of our four-year anniversary.
I know, time has flown by, but man, we don't do too many on Zoom these days, not like those first few years.
No, it's been fantastic, and a big thank you to you for holding down the fort. I think you've only missed one Sunday all year.
Yes, might be a few more next year. We might mix it up a bit.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, but it's good fun. We love working together, and that's what keeps it going. And thank you to all our guests who travel in on a Sunday night. Some from as far as Coromandel this year drove up to be in it, and all our guests that join us on the phone as well.
So we really hope that you enjoyed listening to these recap interviews. And don't forget that if you want to listen to any other interviews from throughout the year, they are available to listen to, download via our website at kickarts.org.nz.
Now, earlier this year, we met this very shy musician who arrived in our studio with her family. They had travelled up from the Coromandel, or Raglan it might have been, I think, for the evening to do the interview. She was so nervous, but actually was so fascinating to talk to. So we thought we would close out our show with a song from Peach Noor. Have a fabulous New Year's. Stay safe, stay well. We're back in a week's time. Until then, make sure you
kick some arts.
We're all different, all the same. Sing it with me now. Sing it with me now.
Do you want to make a change? Do you want to make a difference in the world? Do you want to make a change? Do you want to make a change? Do you want to make a difference in the world? Do you want to make a change? Do you have a message that you want the world to hear? Do you want to lead the way? Don't just stick to those straight lines. Syncopate your life. Want to make an impact? Do you want to make a difference in the world? Do you want to make an impact? Do you want to make an impact? Do you want to make a difference in the world? Do you want to make an impact? And do you want to raise your voice?
to go to sleep. We'll be going live, same time under the stars, saying blah, 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 blah. Let's go kick some.